get out of the cave, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings, if you will, and we'll take a look at this morning. So I love the way the old King James Version deals with this story, and so I told the guys in the back I went old school today. We're going to see the verses in the King James Version this morning, but we're going to talk about Elijah, and we're going to do a study, a biographical study of this man, this prophet. Now, a prophet is an interesting word, and the Bible says Elijah the prophet. We're going to learn about this guy who's a prophet. Sometimes we think of a prophet as somebody that has direct revelation from God, and at times that is true, but more often than not, a prophet is one that speaks in place of. That's what the word prophet means. Really, I'm prophesying this morning. We're taking what the Word of God says, and I'm sharing it. God's not physically here, but we're learning God's Word audibly here today. And so we're prophesying, or I am being a prophet or a proclaimer. That's the idea of what a prophet is. And often, a prophet didn't provide a whole lot of exciting news. He would come on the scene and talk about repentance and talk about what the nation was doing wrong and God's judgment was about to fall if they didn't repent. We can think of Jonah the prophet who went into Nineveh and many of the other prophets as well. And if you go into 2 Kings, there's a story about a king said, they said, we need to talk to the prophet. And he said, I don't want to talk to the prophet. I hate him because he's always telling me bad news. He's always telling me I'm doing the wrong thing and I don't want to hear it. And you know, that's why people don't come to church sometimes, right? They don't want to hear it, so they don't come. Maybe that's why we don't read our Bible at times, because it's telling us we're not really loving people the way we should. We're not loving God. We're not loving other individuals. And so this idea of a prophet is one that comes on the scene and is proclaiming this truth. Now, something interesting to me, when I grew up in Sunday school, and so before the church hour, there was a Bible hour that we would learn, and my Sunday school teachers would talk about all these famous stories. And when I would hear about stories like the prophet Elijah, and he would go to the king of Israel, God's people, and he was saying, you need to get rid of your idolatry, it just didn't make any sense to me. This is God's people. This was the king of Israel. These are the individuals that are supposed to be, serving God and being the light to the world. But they're making idols and living ungodly and doing things that they weren't supposed to do. In my naivety as a young person, I expected the people of the Bible just to do the right things, but often they didn't. And throughout growing up in church, I just thought church people acted like church people. You know, Christians would act like Christ. And I have to tell you, in the 54 years of my life, almost 55 now, my expectations have not always been met, because Christians don't always live like Christ. I don't know if you've noticed that. And it's not just other people, it's ourselves as well, right? And those unmet expectations in life can be very difficult, especially if you're optimistic, if you view this world from a positive and you're expecting good things to go on. In life, people don't always live up to your expectations, right? In life, circumstances don't always live up to your expectations. I don't always live up to my expectations. And when we have those unmet expectations, something can come into our life. And that's called discouragement. And discouragement, as it continues, leads to depression. Look at 1 Kings 19. We're going to look at verse 4. We see Elijah here after a whole lot of events, and we're going to go back in just a minute. But notice what happens in 1 Kings 19, 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Do you know, when our expectations aren't met, it's easy for us to run away, isn't it? It's easy for us to isolate. That's what Elijah does. And he came and he sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself, notice, that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father. In life, we have several defense mechanisms. It's the fight, flight, or freeze, right? Well, often we want to flee. We want to run away. And if we're not careful, that can lead us to depression. And I looked up a figure that there are 800,000 people every year that commit suicide. He said, God, just take away my life. But there's something about depressed people. I do not believe that when somebody's depressed and suicidal that they want to take their life. Look at verse 3. This is very interesting. He's saying in verse 4, God, take my life, because he runs into the wilderness. He isolates himself. He gets to this point where he is suicidal. But notice verse 3. We know he didn't want to die because of what this verse says. And when he saw that, and what did he see? Jezebel wanted to kill him. Because of all the things he was doing for God, Jezebel got upset with him. And she said, I'm going to kill Elijah. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. Depressed people don't want to stop living. They just want to stop hurting. This guy, he runs away because he wants to live, but in his depression, he says, God, take my life. And so in verse 9, God comes on the scene, and he came thither into a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know what God said? He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? What is going on with you? You are a prophet. A prophet is supposed to be speaking for other people, and you've isolated yourself here. You're all alone. What are you doing here? Well, next week, we're going to answer that question, but today we're going to talk about how did I get here? How did I get here? The book of James, chapter 5, verse 17, tells us something very important about this guy, Elijah. He was an incredible man of prayer. Notice what verse 17 says. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. I mean, this guy was a man of God. He prayed. He had answers to prayer. He lived out God's calling for his life. There was nothing wrong with his spiritual life. He was doing those things that were right. But notice the first part. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. That little term, subject to like passions. The passions or the emotions that we have. You see, we are very human. All of us have emotions. All of us experience highs, and all of us experience lows. Maybe we try to avoid them, maybe we try to ignore them, but the reality is all of us have emotions in life. We feel successful at times, we feel like failures at times. We feel up at times, we feel down at times. Elijah was in touch with his emotions. He experienced these senses. God is just saying that Elijah was affected by his emotions. And if we as human beings think that we can live without our emotions, we're kidding ourselves. Now, if you want to know something about me, I love to live very mechanical. I love to be robotic. I like to have the logic, and I like it to move to actions. I love to avoid my feelings. If you come up and say, Tim, how you feeling today? Normally, I couldn't tell you, because I don't like living in that zone. But the more you try to avoid it, the more you try to isolate it, the more it's going to come out eventually. I told my kids over the years, you keep pressing down and pressing down and pressing down, you know what you're going to get? Depressed. We have to be honest with the emotions we have. But when we come to church or in our social media online or the way that we image manage ourselves, how you doing? Great, wonderful, fantastic. Often that's not the case. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. Martin Luther, the great reformer, dealt with depression. The greatest Baptist of all time, Charles Spurgeon, dealt with depression. Jonah, Moses, and Elijah deal with depression. There are Christian leaders today, very well known, that deal with depression, and some have even taken their life, or their kids have taken their life. You see, we are subject to like passions, and very possibly there are times in your life, especially with the way 2020 has gone, and we've talked about social distancing or physical distancing, and people are working from the house and going to school from the house and going to church from their house. So many things have changed. And if we're not careful, we end up in a cave. We're out in the wilderness, and we can be like Elijah. God, just take my life. In the middle of God answering this guy's prayers, and him being a prophet of God, he has suicidal thoughts. And I'm so glad the Bible is honest, and it doesn't ignore it. It doesn't pretend it doesn't exist. And God comes to Elijah and he says, "What are you doing in a cave, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Maybe today you are struggling. I invited my friends to come watch the service today, people I grew up with. Maybe you're dealing with some depression. Maybe some of my friends in this room, you deal with depression. There's times in my life that I have dealt with depression. Now, I want to talk about how did Elijah get there, and how, you know, what are some things that happen in our life for us to get there so we can learn some principles so that we don't end up in that situation. So let me just jump into two. We'll look at some others in the weeks to come. But just two big ones I want to talk about. First of all is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. Maybe you don't deal with depression. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your kids. Maybe your parents deal with depression. And one of the biggies is unmet expectation. You take a young child with bright eyes and a beautiful countenance. The world is before them. There is this mystical, wonderful world that's around them. They're so excited about life. And then you see a teenager that doesn't get excited about anything. You know, they're too cool to show emotions. You take an engaged couple. They are considering their future. Then they stand at the altar. They're so excited about what's going to happen in the days and years to come. And then you have a couple down the road, and they say, "Well, I love you, but I'm not in love," whatever that means, you know. You take a new believer, they're excited about what Jesus has done. Jesus has saved me. He has kept me out of hell. I have a wonderful place called heaven, and heaven too. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for that story there, very powerful, that we are going to heaven, and we want other people to get saved as well. And then after a few years, yeah, I heard the story of Elijah. Yeah, I grew up in Sunday school. I know that truth already. Yeah, yawn. Let's just get on with life. You know, as seniors, we should still have great anticipation about life and not just existing. If you've been married for a while, you should still adore your spouse and madly be in love and don't get bored with them. As mature Christians, we should still share our faith and live out the Bible and learn what it has to say. But sometimes those unmet expectations just kind of close us down. That's what was going on with Elijah. You see, Elijah was this type A personality, this dynamic individual. Everything he did was big. He was passionate, courageous, faithful, bold in all the things that he did. He enters into stressful relationships and events. He prophesied some incredible things. Let's go back and look at some of the things. In 1 Kings chapter 17, this is where we start learning about Elijah the prophet. And in chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." So here is this prophet. He's really just a blue-collar guy. Later it says he's a hairy man, just kind of casually dressed. I mean, you would have noticed him in a crowd. He didn't look like everybody else. And it's this guy that comes on the scene to the king. And he says to the king, "It's not going to rain here for 3 years because of your sin." Man, can you imagine the boldness? Have you ever tried to confront somebody or deal with a difficult issue and you have to talk to somebody? I mean, but he boldly comes on the scene. Not only does he confront the king, a little bit later in chapter 17, look at verse 11. God says, I want you to go to this widow. And as she was going to fetch it or to get food, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Hey, could you make me some food? This is what he says. There wasn't any hotels at that point. There weren't restaurants as we think of today. So he goes to this widow and he says, would you make me some food? And she says, as the Lord the God, thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal. I don't have enough to make you a loaf of bread. I just have a little bit of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now notice what happens. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, so the fire's not going to be very big, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's not very hopeful, is it? I mean, she's in the middle of this drought. He had said it's not going to rain, so not only was there a drought, but there was a famine going on. She only had a little bit of food, and she's making her last meal for her and her son, and that's all they have. And she assumed after they eat this little bit of bread that they're both going to starve to death. Now, I know what I would do. I would say, man, let me give you some money. Let me help you. But that's not what Elijah did, because God told him to do something else. Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. She says, I've just got a little bit of bread. I'm going to eat it, and that's all we have. And he says, why don't you make it for me first? Do you think you could do that? This poor lady, you come up and say, would you make me some food? I only have one meal for my son and I. Why don't you make it for me? Now, we know there's an incredible promise, and God was blessing if we put him first and all those kind of things, but this is a bold statement. He goes to Ahab. He goes to this widow. He even brings her child back to life a little bit later. And then in chapter 18, an incredibly bold things he does. Look at verse 21, 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, that's why I want to use the King James. I grew up with it. I love that statement. Can you imagine the prophet here? How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to wait? Are you going to falter, hesitate, not make a decision? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Wow. He goes before the people of God. And God is on this side, and the idols of Baal are on this side. And he says, you make a decision, and they don't make a decision. I mean, he boldly comes, and he's asking for incredible things here. His expectations are high. And what do? Absolutely nothing. I'll give you this illustration. The praise team is singing their heart out. The team has been practicing hard all week with their music. Their heart is in it. They're expressing. They're passionate. And they look out, and they see somebody looking at their watch or yawning or like, oh, yeah, when are we going to get to the message or something? Now, I don't know if they feel that way. I just assume maybe they feel that way. They don't feel that way. Because now I feel that way when I'm preaching sometimes. But I'm judgmental, and they're not. So, okay, maybe that's sort of the difference there anyway. But anyway, he is expecting great things to happen, and they don't. Look at the criticism he goes through. In 17:18, the widow says to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? She's like, she's mad at him. She's mad at the preacher. Can you believe it? Art thou coming to me to call my sins to remembrance, to slay my son? Her son dies here, and she's mad at the preacher that he didn't do the right thing. And she's like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He comes on the scene, and he is talking to the religious and political leaders and telling them what they're doing wrong. That's why they had a drought. And in verse 17 of chapter 18, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Man, Elijah is just doing what God's called him to do. He's just preaching the message. He's just proclaiming what God has called him to. And guess what? The leaders around. Yeah, it's your fault. You've brought all the trouble around here. It's not true. But Elijah deals with criticism. He even goes on, after the prophets of Baal fail and God brings the fire down, in chapter 18, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? After that took place, chapter 19, verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. This incredible victory. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the fire fell down upon God's sacrifice and not the Baalic priest's sacrifice. Man, he's at the biggest high. Just like Jonah after he gets out of the ark. After he had obeyed God, he gets out of the ark, and what does he do? He goes and gets drunk. After this incredible high that Elijah faces, he faces criticism from Jezebel, and he ends up running away. No parades like the sports teams, no party after a political victory, no awards like a military accomplishment, just criticism. Have you ever felt that way? Moms, you work hard, you do all the things that you should do, you possibly work on a job, you come home, clean the house, get dinner ready, nobody says thank you. You take care of the things at work that you're supposed to do, but you get passed up and don't get the raise. You feel like you're doing your best, but you face criticism. You're trying to do that which is right, but things just don't go your way. Unmet expectations. And Elijah ends up in the wilderness, and the next thing, he's in a cave. I mean, he's down. He's so down. And he says, God, why don't you just take my life? Now, that was the one prayer God didn't answer. And aren't you glad for those prayers that God doesn't answer at times? God, take my life. No, I've got a purpose for you. As long as there is breath in your lungs, I have a purpose, and there is hope. You know, life doesn't go the way we expect it to. We had plans last year in 2019. We met in the fall, just like we're going to do shortly, and plan out the calendar for the year. We planned out 2020. We had talked about what we're going to talk about and messages and lessons and events that we're going to do. And I don't know if you know this, but a lot of those things just didn't happen, right? Right? Didn't you have plans? You imagine spring came and no March Madness. You go to the store and no toilet paper or whatever else, you know, might have been, right? I mean, the things did not go as planned. Paul and I were talking yesterday. It sort of just seems like a vision or, a dream or a movie that we watched. Can you believe the United States of America? You could go to the store and it was hard to find hamburger or something like that. You know, life doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen. Maybe you stood in an altar and you meant what you said till death do us part, but that other person didn't. And expectations don't always happen the way you thought they were. You thought you were going to have three kids and a dog and life was just going to go well, and things like that have not gone what you thought it was going to happen. You thought you were going to live happily ever after. You thought you were going to live a long life, but you got a cancer report or you have some other difficulty in life or you lost your job or whatever the case might be. Life doesn't always go the way we think it will. So, Elijah is emotionally spent, physically exhausted, relationally isolated. And when things did not go as planned, and he was criticized harshly by those that were around him, he had nothing left in the tank. He hadn't developed good boundaries around himself. And he couldn't deal with it, and he ran away. He said, I just can't take it anymore. God, would you just take my life? Did he want to die? No. He wanted to live. That's what started this process. But he just dealt with it incorrectly. And if you're dealing with discouragement or depression, talk to some friends. Talk to a Christian leader. Talk to one of the pastors here. Go to a counselor. Talk to somebody at school or a coach or somebody that you trust that can help you through what you're going through. Because we're not intended to get through this world alone. But we isolate ourselves. And in that isolation, our minds start racing. And then our thoughts and feelings go in a wrong direction. And maybe we start talking to some of those negative people, or maybe some people are saying some really bad stuff about us, and they're sending a text to us, or they're posting something on social media, or they have just isolated away from you and don't want to have anything to do with you. And we end up in this emotional cave. Maybe you online. You're dealing with fear and stress, and you're working from home, school is at home, church is at home, some health issues, and you're isolated. And the what ifs start coming up in our mind. What if I lose my job? What if the wrong candidate gets in? Have you seen both sides? If this guy gets in, the world's going to fall apart. If this guy gets in, everything's over, right? What if? What if my family life doesn't get better? What if I get sick? All these what ifs are so destructive. And let me say, if you're in this room, attending church is still not enough. Don't just come in quickly and leave, but spend some time afterward. You know, pick your kids up and go hang out on the playground. Incredible weather God's given to us at this time, right? Hang out for a few minutes. Go introduce yourself to somebody. Say, man, I'm hanging out. Maybe somebody will come talk to me. I understand it's difficult, but you go talk to somebody else. Because they're just waiting for somebody to talk to them just like you're waiting. Build some relationships. As Pastor Ryan talked about small groups, get on that app and sign up for a small group, whether it's a Zoom class or a live class. Get connected with some people. Build relationships. Get involved in a ministry. You know, life is just so overwhelming. If we're not careful, it's all about us accomplishing what we have to instead of living out God's plan and His purposes. I heard Max Licata this morning. He wrote a book about we're never alone. It's coming out in the next few days. And he said this, most of all, make sure you're spending time with God. Make sure that you know Jesus is your Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, make that decision in your life. Jesus loves you so much, he died on the cross. And he has an incredible place called heaven that you can't get to heaven by your works, through your baptism, through you going to church, through you listening online, through your financial giving, or your trying to fulfill the Ten Commandments, but it's through what Jesus did by faith, trusting his death, burial, and resurrection. And then walking that out in our own life every day. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. As the team comes and as you listen online or you're sitting here on site, let's look at your passions, your thoughts, your dreams for just a minute. What's going on with you? God, we just sang, you are so good. But Lord, in your goodness, we realize that life is not always good. Help us to deal with unmet expectations in life. May we cast our care upon you because you care for us. Lord, I pray that you would save some people spiritually today, that you would save some people physically today, that you would deliver us. God, may you become the dreams of the future. May you take our pain and wash it in your mercy and grace. Thank you for loving us. May you give hope to some people today. Hope to marriages. Hope to individuals. In Jesus' name.